This week on the Media Corps Minute podcast, I sit down with Jeremy Ellingson, the COO of Ellingson Companies. This week, we dive into what it's like to hire in what seems to be a labor shortage in construction. We also dive into what technology is doing to the industry as a whole. It's also fun to hear Jeremy's extensive experience on being a leader inside of an organization that is growing significantly. Stay tuned. This will be a good one. Jeremy, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good, good. I'm excited to have you on.
Appreciate you asking me to be on.
I was excited. We had done some work together over the years now, and I've been following the company for a long time, and the more I learn, the more I see, and it just gets more interesting and cooler, and it's fun to see the growth. And
Yeah, it's been a fun ride, and we appreciate everything Media Corps has done for us. Yeah. Been a good partner.
Absolutely. I wanted to, before we kind of dive into things, just for listeners' sake, what's the high level view? What is Ellingson Companies?
We're a third generation construction company based right here in southeastern Minnesota. Mm-hmm. We have offices throughout the country.
Yep.
Our two main offices are in Harwood, North Dakota, which is a northern suburb of Fargo, and a little town called West Concord near Rochester.
Yep.
We've been there for 53 years now, going on our 54th. So exciting stuff. We offer a lot of different construction services. We started in the agricultural business, working with growers and landowners, installing ag drainage systems, water management systems. And now we've expanded into doing a lot of different infrastructure projects. We do oil and gas work. We do a lot of directional drilling in the environmental space, in the municipal water and sewer space. A lot of different really specialty things. We're kind of an ag and utility group, but we specialize in trenchless technologies.
Yep. And you do some work, obviously, locally, but you kind of do work all over the U.S., don't you?
Yeah, we have some regional groups that work here in southern Minnesota, northern Iowa. We also have a regional group up in the Fargo-Grand Forks area that works kind of in a, 10-15 county area. But then we also have a couple groups that travel all over Iowa and, basically from coast to coast. We do projects in California, Texas, Pennsylvania. You name it, we've probably done a project in one of them states.
Yeah,
so
that's awesome. So kind of, jumping into the, some of the history, it's interesting because, you said there's a couple different things that you're doing now, and I don't think from the start you were offering all those, I'm sure it's been kind of a progression. And because it was your grandfather, right, that kind of started the company. And
yeah.
So initially, what was that like when he was starting and what were the services? And
him and my grandma moved up here in the late 60s.
Yeah.
And he was doing farming and really just was struggling with wet fields himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to work for a local drainage contractor at the time over in West Concord, and spent a couple of years helping him out in the summer times and trying to, farm at the same time. And realized in the 1970 that he was going to jump into business and purchase his first trencher. And that's really kind of where it began.
Yeah.
He knew he needed to tile his own farms, and it was probably cheaper for him to do it himself than to
that's
hire
great.
Somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he started doing it for neighbors, and it became a business.
Interesting.
And I had two uncles and my dad in the business for several years through the 80s, and they also farmed 2,000-3,000 acres.
Wow.
And then probably in about the mid-90s, we've kind of separated the business. The farming continued on, and we kind of really focused on the construction services.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of got out of like the farming side. Did you sell that off, or did that go to somebody?
No, my grandpa continued to farm, and I think they rented some of their properties out. But we really got focused on the construction side of the business. Dealing with our current ag customers, and really continued to build our agricultural water management part of our company into probably the late 90s, and then we realized that you know, we couldn't continue to grow our seasonal business of farm drainage in the spring and the fall.
Okay.
Without having something to offset that in the summertime. And so we looked around, and not a lot of people were doing horizontal directional drilling at that time. There was a lot of people doing a lot of other construction services, site work, open cuts, sewer and water. And we decided to jump into that specialty business, and it's grown into its own part of our company now. But it was a great way for us to continue to build our teams in the spring and the fall for our ag business, but yet start to diversify a little bit and keep them guys busy throughout the summer.
So when did your dad kind of get involved with the company then?
I think he started 1972, 73, in there. He's ran the company, still runs the company today. We just celebrated his 50th anniversary at Ellingson. So it was a really, really fun event. We've got a lot of other 10-year employees. I think we had over 25 to 30 service awards this year at Ellingson. Wow. So 5 years and over. So it's an exciting time.
That's great. So I know you're, you know, a big part of now, you know, helping run the company and run Ellingson, and you have your, you know, your brothers involved too. Is there other family that's kind of involved in, you know, running of the company?
Well, you know, one of our core values is family values, and you know, everyone at Ellingson, I think, kind of gets treated like part of the family.
Yeah.
Specifically, I have a brother that's involved. We also have a couple stepbrothers that work within the organization too. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. I feel like you guys really live the family values too. I mean, even when we probably first met and, you know, could come in and got introduced and things like that, I mean, you can just kind of feel it throughout the organization from everyone that we were working with.
Yeah, it's fun, and you know, we feel like if everybody's treated with respect and you've got some really strong core values, that it can really empower people to do a great job.
Did you kind of, I mean, you obviously kind of grew up in the area then. Were you doing stuff, you know, young age in the company? You know, I feel like all these, you know.
Yeah, you know, in high school, actually one of my first jobs was I was working at a hardware store in town.
Okay,
yeah. And towards the end of my high school, I was working some summers for the business.
Oh, yeah.
And when I got out of school, I thought I wanted to be a realtor. So I went,
went to
school for several months, and I got my real estate license.
That's
and,
great.
You know, was interested in, you know, maybe flipping some houses or doing some things. And so I was kind of doing that a little bit part time. And as I entered the construction, you know, workforce, started in the field as a laborer, and have held several different positions at Ellingson over the years. So.
Yeah. So initially you didn't think, you know, maybe that you would be a part of the family business, or did you kind of think that maybe down the road, or?
You know, I didn't know, you know, yeah. I really enjoyed the business and the family. And, you know, I think when anybody graduates from high school, they kind of figure it out a little bit. I got a son that's graduating this year, and you know, I think he's going to come to work for the business at some point, but he's, you know, he's still a little up in the air, and I just tell him it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, you got your whole life to work, take some time to figure it out. So.
Yeah. Is he going to do real estate as well?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Only time will tell.
That's right. Yep. Well, sweet. So you're graduating, you're doing that, you kind of come in, you know, to the business. You know, what does that look like when, I know through the years you've kind of taken more of a leadership role. You know, how has that kind of changed? You know, when was the progression of maybe the, I mean, I know your dad's still involved, but, you know, obviously less than before, you know.
Sure. You know, I think that's an interesting question. You know, I'm still learning on how to be a good leader today.
Yeah.
You know, I can tell you there's a lot of trials and tribulations as you grow an organization. You know, probably one of the biggest things that you know, changed for me is you know, as you start a business and it's smaller, everything's hands-on, you know, everybody, you can touch everybody, you know, there are a lot of decisions being made quickly and fast, and it's really about the client and the customer and getting projects done and building your name. As your company grows, it really starts to change to more of a people business.
Yeah,
customers still always have to come first.
Yep.
But at the same time, people are you know the backbone of your company, and I think what's hard for a lot of smaller companies, or as we were smaller and growing into a bigger company, is really understanding, you know, how to take that hat you used to wear of all them different roles off, and trust and delegate and build a good team around yourself to allow the company to grow, because it gets to the point where you can't do everything yourself.
Right. Because how many, you know, team members, employees do you have, you know, you guys have now?
I think we, you know, fluctuate between 400 and 450.
Yeah.
You know, today, just depending on the time of year.
Yep.
So we've got
a lot of people.
We've got a big team. Yeah. Yeah, we've got five different business groups, you know, that do a lot of different construction processes, we said, across the U.S. So having good team members and processes and core values to follow is really important as spread out as we get.
What do you think were some of, like, the key things, I guess, even in the organization that, you know, were maybe pivotal to, like, the growth and, like, you know, where are they? Sometimes there's like a thing that happens and it launches ahead, you know, a full step. And then like, oh man, like what were some of those maybe key elements that really just helped really grow and progress?
You know, I think, you know, just our never ending hunger for, you know, strategy and growth. You know, I think our ownership team and several of our executives, you know, have that hunger to do more, you know, to want to figure things out, be better, you know, be the best at what we do, be really good at a few things. I think that's a huge tribute. You know, our people we've hired over the years, I can't say enough about them. You know, we've had several things, I think, over the course of the last 15, 20 years that, you know, really started to change, you know, process. You know, you can't grow a company without process. You know, it just, when, you know, you're expecting people to continue to grow, it's just really hard to not have systems in place to keep track of things and help them manage things. I think we've done a really good job from a technology standpoint as a company, you know, keeping up with that, which I think is important. We did a project a few years ago where we kind of rebooted our core values. And, you know, for years and years and years, you know, it was instilled in me and by my dad, my grandparents, you know, you work hard, you have these values, and you just kind of take it for granted that everybody you hire just kind of understands that. But when you get to 400 or 500 people, you can't have those conversations with everybody. And we put together an Ellingson Core Values book that talks about what's important to our company and our ownership team. And it was amazing to me how that's starting to change the culture even more at our company, and, you know, giving our team members the ability to make decisions on their own and bouncing it off what's best for the company or the core values. And it's really empowered people, and exciting times.
I sure too. I mean, like with leadership too, and like growing, I mean, I'm sure now you reflect off of those core values as you're making decisions on who's in the right seat and, you know, how can we progress and promote and hire and fire and, you know, do different things. And when you get everyone on board with that, I'm sure it's easier at that point to kind of take, hey, you know, I'm going to take this hat off and I'm going to give it to somebody else to be taking on, you know.
Right. Yeah, no, it's definitely a challenge. And, you know, I personally have had my failures over the years, but, you know, I think if you keep working at it and you keep learning, you know, you can put a plan in place that really works. We've also adopted for our leadership team a servant leadership model, which
very cool.
Maybe, you know, some people may question that, you know, but we found some good partners to help us implement that. There's a gentleman that we worked with who wrote a book said Leading the Jesus Way.
Okay.
And, you know, at first everybody kind of goes, well, how do we bring church and religion into the business? That's really not what we're doing. We're just talking about what kind of leader Jesus was. And we've sent several of our people through that. And it's I think it's a really, really great way to think about things. And I know it's changed me personally, and I think it's helped a lot of our team members really kind of, you know, have a different way to relate things.
Yeah.
You know, we also use Strength Finders, right? It's a really good book. It's amazing to me how well Strength Finders can peg what people are good at, and helping them understand that has been really insightful to, as you said before, you know, getting the right people in the right spot.
Yeah,
it's critical to help people understand that. So,
no, that's really cool. I mean, I think one of the things too that I want to do even with our team is, you know, those different strength finders and things like that, because I'll be reading something and it's like, well, yeah, I feel like, you know, I always do it like that, but I didn't know that's why I should be, you know, maybe operating that way, or how I, you know, how I think that way, or how somebody else thinks maybe differently. But it's just a communication barrier that you just need to know, hey, I got to approach it like this instead of this, because that's going to make the biggest difference, you know, of how they're going to receive this info. And
right.
But I also love the faith side of what you guys are doing too. I mean, that's huge, especially as, you know, top-down leadership, you know, those kinds of things. You know, I joined an organization called C12. I don't know if you've heard of them, but Christian CEOs and Owners. And it was one thing that I've always wanted, kind of, you know, I wouldn't call it necessarily coaching, but almost like a mentorship kind of thing, you know. And at each stage of my business, I feel like I've had that, you know. Very early on, it was just a business owner that I knew and trusted, you know, and you get started and you help, you know, kind of along the way. And then I had a video specific coach, but, you know, it was even out of the country, and just had groups of video owners. And I was like, okay, this is great. You know, everyone's got the same issues. You kind of progress past that though, you know, and you start having organizational issues that they're not really seeing. And, you know, I think it happened with our growth and our size of employees, but now I'm like, well, I have to learn how to be a CEO, and I haven't learned how to do that yet. So that was like a huge, huge stepping stone for me. And like, okay, you know, Josh knows how to you know, be a good person and sell videos and market himself and, you know, shoot and edit. And it's like, well, great. That's not going to take you that far.
Right.
So now with a crew of eight, I'm like, I have to learn how to be the leader of this company.
Yep.
And so it was a really cool thing. You know, I got invited, and, you know, they're like, this isn't a Bible study. It's a Christian organization, but we're trying to equip leaders in their companies to build better businesses.
Yep.
And a lot of those faith values are what, you know, a lot of people stand on and may not even know they're faith-based, but
right,
that's where a lot of it comes. So it's cool to see that. And I feel like I see that more and more.
Yeah,
with the more businesses that we work with, you know. Yeah.
I think it's, you know, I think everybody's always learning. You know, I've been in my role as CEO at Ellingson for probably 10, 15 years now. And I mean, I still make mistakes and I still learn things every day. I think what's important is to continue to provide opportunities for your teams to grow and learn.
Yep.
Right. You know, making sure you've got those opportunities for them to build and get better. Not all companies offer things like that. And, you know, at Ellingson, you know, we're striving to become more of an academy company, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's something that people can be attracted to, that, hey, I can move up, I can advance, I can have opportunities, there's training opportunities for me. And with as diversified we are, I mean, we have four or five businesses in one. So, you know, there's opportunity to move laterally within our organization a little bit too. So
I had an owner, she's the CEO of Fresh Paint up in the cities, and that was one of her big things, is obviously her people. You know, clients are always important, but just like you realize the bigger you get, like, our people are everything. This is our company. We don't have anything without our team members. So being able to attract great talent and develop great people, but knowing that you have to grow, because, you know, if it stagnates, it's like, well, what's going on? Like, I want to keep growing. So creating that opportunity for them in the organization with different things, or the size, or, you know, always having those opportunities for them to keep taking their journey too, personally.
Yeah, no, it's super important. And, you know, it's one thing to figure out, you know, as you said, how to shoot a video or bid a construction project or manage a construction project, those are the things that become easy, right? Right? Yeah. It's the other things in business that you weren't prepared for that you're constantly trying to understand and get better at. Mm-hmm. And I think just being humble and having a little humility when you don't know, mm-hmm. you know, there's nothing wrong with that. And as long as you keep working at, you know, I think getting better, whether you're at the top of the company or the middle of the company or you're the newest guy hired, is what's important.
Yeah. How do you personally continue to develop yourself and your skill set in being, you know, a COO?
You know, I constantly work with our team, my senior leadership team, to, you know, think outside the box, you know, look for external training opportunities. We've got some companies that are construction-based that do some really, really neat training sessions that are based on construction that we've used in the past. There's a group called FMI out of Florida that does a construction simulation training, which has got like a Monopoly board, and it's we from executives down to project managers, we do a training, and it's a lot of fun. You know,
interesting, yeah.
People get engaged and they learn, you know, about running a construction company. Mm-hmm. I personally have an executive coach I work with. I've had one for 25 years, a couple different ones. And it really helps me personally, you know, have someone to just bounce ideas off of, or, you know, ask questions that, you know, maybe I'm struggling with or a tough situation. And it's fun to be able to do that. And then I think the last thing is just communication. Mm. You know, we all struggle with it. It's human nature, you know, cell phones, social media have made that a little tougher, you know, but at the end of the day, people still wanted to be communicated with, and it's something that I think we all struggle with. So I, you know, I'm trying to try and do that or work towards that as much as I can.
Mm-hmm. How do you kind of identify and find, a business coach, you know, because I'm sure at different, you know, levels and stuff like that, you know, there's going to be different people that are specialized in.
You know, I networked with some other business owners, you know, that had used different coaches, different people. I actually interviewed and talked to three or four before I made a decision on the one I wanted to use. I think there's several different kinds. There's more of what I would call the, you know, construction consulting companies or consulting that have several coaches within them that they offer. And then I think there's a lot of smaller companies that are more personal one-on-one coaching. It's really about what you want. Mm. You know, I think it's what are you looking for, and who has the right expertise for you and the things that you want to grow in, and where you recognize your strengths and weaknesses are, and how to partner with somebody that can help you do that.
Mm-hmm. I like that. One of the things, you know, that I've always thought too, and you know, one, you guys are doing business, you know, it feels like it differently, you know, and I wanted to ask you kind of, what do you think are some of those strengths or things that set you guys apart, you know, in your organization that you're or in your industry per se, you know, that you guys are doing?
You know, I think we really strive to ensure our customers are satisfied. Mm. I think customer satisfaction is a goal of ours every day, every week, from our laborers up to our top executive managers. I think another thing, we're really innovative. Mm. You know, I think we will put a team together to solve really tough, complex problems for customers where maybe other contractors or other companies will shy away from one of them projects. We've done some really specialized stuff, and I think we've got a great team of people with diverse backgrounds. We have civil engineers, we have geologists, we have guys that have been in construction for 30 plus years. We've got guys that have, you know, drilled outside of this country from a horizontal directional drilling standpoint. We've got fabricators in our shop that make really cool stuff for our, you know, our drainage equipment.
And, don't have it,
you
build
know,
it. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have it, figure it out. We've custom built a lot of stuff. One of the other owners on our team is very, very sharp and smart when it comes to equipment and building stuff. So I really think innovation is a big thing that sets us apart. And then, you know, I think technology. You know, we've been digital field reporting for over 10 years with iPads. We're, you know, I think some companies are still on paper, you know, and we're building BI dashboards, and we have a GIS team to help track our construction projects, and we're writing apps for some of our parts of our company. So, I mean, we're we've got a pretty robust IT team, and I think that's probably something else that helps keep us on the cutting edge and makes us more efficient.
It's always fun to hear, you know, when different guys, you know, it's just like, hey, you know, this thing doesn't exist. Let's, you know, let's create it. Let's build it. Let's make something custom that doesn't even exist to do what we're trying to do. And, you know, it's always fun to see those. But I was going to ask you specifically about kind of the technology. I mean, industry-wide, how do you think that technology is changing and evolving, you know, the industry?
You know, I think it's definitely making it quicker and easier to communicate. You know, there's a lot of technology out there to gather data, collect data in the field, give real-time reporting. We do a lot of renewable energy, wind farms, solar projects, and you know, these are big project sites with windmills and construction workers everywhere. And we've developed some tools that allow us to give real-time reporting to our customers of how much of our work is complete, what we're doing next, right? That used to be phone calls and weekly meetings and things like that. So I think, you know, technology is doing a lot of really cool things. AI is something that I think, you know, is just in its infancy. We're playing around with it a little bit in some of our businesses, and I mean, it just amazes me how efficient you can get with some of the things that AI is doing, and whether it be writing policies or figuring out complex problems, or you know, prospecting for new customers. I mean, you name it, AI is gonna, I think, change how we do business for a long time.
Do you think? I mean, if you're not keeping up with technology, that it's almost hurting or putting businesses, you know, small businesses that can't keep up, almost like, I mean, is it hurting some, helping others? And
no, I think it depends on what the technology is. You know, there's some technologies that I wish didn't exist, right? it makes it tough, you know. I think most of them are really, really good, and I think the construction companies that you know, want to grow and continue to expand need to embrace it. You know, it's something that's always a tough challenge. You know, we're a group of people that likes to build things with their hands, right? Yep. Or run equipment, or, you know, do things like that. Technology isn't always our forte, but I think if you implement it and use it in the right way, it can be really beneficial to your organization.
At first, it can be, you know, like I don't want to be doing this different, or, you know, right. What are we doing? And then after it's kind of adapted and, you know, people are using it, it's, oh, okay, this is actually, you know, cool, unique, different, better, you know, and more efficient, you know, things like that. So you probably get that buy-in from the team, you know, once you start, you know, using it more and more, and it's like, okay, this stuff's pretty cool. Yep. But how do you keep up with it? I mean, I went to the Connex, you know, in Vegas last year, and I mean, my goodness, it's like you can't even get around everywhere in a week.
Yeah, you can't.
Like, how much is going on, and how fast it's growing.
Yeah, and how fast it's changing. You know, we've got, I think investing, you know, typically in the construction industry, depending on the size of the organization, people haven't really invested in it. You know, it's just one of them things you had to have to send emails and do bids. I think you have to change that outlook. I think you have to embrace it. And we've got a team of people that stays up to date on a lot of that stuff. You know, we get engaged in different conferences from a technology perspective. As you said, the Con Expo this year had, I mean, miles and miles of technology stuff. I think where I'd warn most people, and a lot of the stuff we've adapted and something we've probably struggled with a little bit, but we're getting better at, is really making sure that, you know, when you're adapting a new technology in your business, that you're really vetting it out and thinking about how this impacts every part of your business to make sure that, you know, it is truly a cost savings, and you're not creating a process or a system or implementing a new technology that's adding another person over here to get it set up to use the technology, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's I think just making sure you do a good evaluation before you implement something is the key, and making sure you're getting that return on investment. And
I think we've even been in a spot where we've probably jumped the gun on certain things that we've bought, even equipment wise and technology wise. And it's fun as anybody, there's the newest, you know, shiniest toy and piece of equipment and anything like that. And you know, we bought top of the line drones out there, and it was like, you know, we had the second generation of it and this was the third, but did we need the third immediately when the second was actually pretty good? But it was like, you know, let's jump on that. But it is hard to sometimes go, you know, let's look at everything here, and maybe this isn't the first place that we need to spend the money, or, you know, making sure that if we do, then we're going to be able to implement it and it's going to, you know, do all that stuff. So it is kind of one of those things. How can you 360 view a purchase and go, let's make sure this is right.
Yep.
We're going to be able to use this. And
just like anything, I think a little planning up front, due diligence, and making sure you think through it will help you make better decisions. I think we have a drone too. I'm not sure how many times we've used it, but it's probably in the same boat. I'm sure you're using yours way more than we are. But we do have some other cool technologies that that we've bought recently that are really neat, and we are using them. So, take the wins with the losses, I guess.
Yeah. So. It's fun. I was actually, just a random story, I was talking to a guy, and he was owns a gym, and they had pipes that were getting old, and he's talking about the issues that's causing, and the construction that they're having to stop operations and tear up all this stuff to get down there. And you know, before working with you, I wouldn't have known about all this. Well, yeah, have you ever thought about this? And you know, technically, you didn't have to maybe dig up everything. You could have, you know, shot a liner through or done something. So it's funny. I'm like talking about this stuff. I'm like, why do I know this stuff? Random things that you pick up, and it was fun. But I was like, yep, that was Ellingson that I learned that from.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think that's a really neat technology we've developed over the last several years is our infrastructure management. You know, it's some really cool stuff. We've done projects all over the U.S. for a lot of large clients. We work for Miller Coors, General Growth Properties, Hormel, Nestle, people like that. And I think we've done some work down here for Mayo Clinic and would like to do more. And it's just a super neat, non-invasive technology, as you said, when you need to repair a pipe or rehab a pipe and you don't want to shut production down or tear the floor up, we got a solution for you. So.
I mean, these guys will lose, crazy money on downtime. So it's it's just, you know, to have new technology and things like that. Because, I mean, even how new is stuff like that, you know, in the last couple of years?
Some of that lining technology has been around for probably 20 plus years, but I mean, it's the curing technologies is changing, and there's a lot of new applications that make it cleaner and faster and really make it more efficient and accessible, especially to areas like plants or food processing or healthcare facilities that, can't be shut down or, you know, have limited areas to work in and things like that. So.
Has that same technology, though, you know, because the other thing that I think you guys are doing that was interesting, too, was, like, how can you actively see what's going on underground, you know? Because it's like, unless something happens, you know, you don't really know what's happening down there. And it's usually, you know, something bad that's like, okay, this was a leak, and now it's, a manhole or something like that that just happened in the floor. So it's interesting, too. I mean, you guys proactively, you know, help maintain a lot of these, you know, different facilities now because you just, it's the awareness of what's actually going on.
Right. Our infrastructure management team, that's really where, you know, the value is, as you said, proactively you know, solving customer problems, you know, getting in and looking at the condition of their old pipes, whether it's in the walls or underground or mm-hmm. in a tight, inaccessible place, but, you know, giving them some sort of condition assessment so that they don't have that catastrophic breakdown where, you know, the floor collapses next to a machine or a pool or, you know, why there's guests at a hotel or people in a restaurant, right? I mean, we've got horror stories that we could tell of emergency jobs we've done and things that you couldn't even believe. But I think the proactiveness is where the real value is we send a team in to really kind of help you as an organization plan and prepare for that. And then it allows you to spread your capital purchases over several years by budgeting to repair your worst section first, per se, and maybe work on the other ones as you can get a capital budget to do that instead of having this large emergency repair cost
that wasn't planned
that you have the burden of, right? We can keep you out of that situation. And the real cost savings is the downtime. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you talk about a food processing plant, a beverage plant, you know, even a mall, you know, at Christmas shutting down a two or three major stores due to a leak, right? You know, somebody can't get their Christmas present or what it may be, can cost a lot of headaches and money. So it's exciting for us. It's a newer business. You know, we've been in that business probably 15 years now, but it's unique and we're excited to keep growing that team. Mm-hmm.
How is the, I mean, kind of playing off of technology, how is marketing, you know, and how has that changed the game from social media and websites and, you know, photos and videos and different things like that? Or how is that kind of shifting how maybe marketing's done, sales is done, recruiting's done?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, all of our businesses, you know, I think are adapting to the new way of marketing, you know, short videos, quick hits, social media, you know, that's where a lot of people get their information and, you know, making sure that we're delivering the right information, you know, at the right time.
Yep.
You know, there's times where it's easy, but then, you know, it's almost like anything else. People can wake up in the morning and know where the last tornado was or, you know, the last world crisis in 15 minutes. And sometimes they start to expect, well, what's Ellingson doing lately?
Yep.
You know, so, you know, if once you start it, you kind of got to keep it rolling, you know? But it's fun. It's a good platform. There's a lot of good platforms to share that information on. You know, we got a lot of followers on YouTube and LinkedIn and Facebook and things that we share a lot of our project stories and job openings and things like that on. So it's definitely a new way of marketing. That's for sure.
One of the things that we've, you know, heard, you know, as well, because I mean, there's some guys that, you know, they would say they don't necessarily like market their services. You know, it's not like I'm going to do this. It's going to equal, you know, this next project. But, you know, throughout awareness, you know, it can obviously help. But we hear like the camaraderie, you know, like the, you know, even just like internal, you know, stuff where it's like, you know, our guys now know what's going on more than ever. They know what the different businesses, you know, business units are doing. Location-wise, you know, around the country, you know, there's that piece now of like, hey, like I understand what I'm a part of now more than ever, because you know before I was kind of just on my island, just doing my thing, I didn't really know what was going on, and I feel like that's what we keep hearing too is this, it's like an access even for like internal stuff, like man, like this gets people excited.
Yeah, I think it's a really good statement that, you know. It's making communication easier, you know. You know, in the old days, some used to send out newsletters, right? That's kind of how everybody tried to attack it. And I think the way things are done now with the different social media, you're exactly right. People can get excited. They can learn about different parts of the company if you are a larger company. Or, you know, a lot of the other things is just family members or people in the community can follow you and, you know, see what's going on in the organization or, you know, what they're – son or daughter or daughter-in-law or somebody may be participating in at work that they maybe wouldn't normally talk about, right?
Yep.
So it's I think there's some great tools there, and just making sure that you know you're doing it often enough to keep an audience and not doing it too much to annoy the audience, right?
That's right. Make sure it's relevant that they actually care about what you're putting out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's certain ones that, you know, ding my phone way too much. So, you know.
Why am I following
this? Yeah. right.
I kind of wanted to, you know, kind of jump in a little bit to even like the recruitment side, you know, even looking at an overview from an industry, you know, what do you think has been, you know, going on over the last, I'd say, you know, 3-4 years even of like, everyone seems to be having recruitment issues of like, you know, you have growing businesses, growing need, less pool of people, you know, and everyone's kind of fighting over the same groups. And it's like, what's kind of your perspective on that? What's going on there with recruiting?
Well, I think, you know, there's been some people exit, I think, the construction industry during the COVID, you know, era, the COVID time. I don't think some of them people are maybe coming back into the industry is part of the problem. I also think that, you know, people probably don't understand, you know, construction jobs, what they can get paid. They look at them sometime as, you know, not the best job, right? You know, I got to get dirty, long hours, you know, and, you know, I definitely that stigma has been there for a long time. I think that's changing. You know, I think companies are trying to do a really good job of how to, you know, attract younger workers, you know, show them that a career in the trades is very viable. You know, I mean, we've got guys that are 18-year-old kids out of high school, you know, that have been with us 3, 4, 5 years that, you know, are making, you know, more than a lot of kids with college degrees, you know, I mean, just to be honest.
Not coming out with, you know, 4 years of debt.
Yeah. You know, so if college isn't the right thing for you, I think you can make a really good career. And, you know, with the technology changes, you know, I don't think people understand also that these construction companies have project managers, accounting people, IT people. We have an entire GIS staff that works on GIS mapping in our company. We have surveyors, you know, and a lot of construction companies have design engineers or, you know, I mean, there's lots of different trades and you know, job things that isn't just out working in the dirt, right? Within construction. And I'm not sure everybody always, you know, always recognizes that.
Yeah. Thinks about the different options that they could even, you know, do or potentially have.
Yeah.
Like
we have marketing people, we have sales people, you know, I mean, so there are a lot of different positions within construction. It's not all about just, you know, being out working. And even the equipment today has changed things so much. You know, the GPS technology has made, you know, grading and excavating and even putting in tile like we do a lot simpler and easier. It's you know, a lot of the equipment, state-of-the-art, air-conditioned cabs, you know. I mean, years ago, we didn't have that, you know. You were coming home with a dirty face, and, you know, it was hot all day, and there was no AC, and, you know, that's changed. It's changed with the way the equipment is and things today. And
I mean, you can go online and, you know, order your next, you know, piece of equipment with you. Heated cup holder now for your for your coffee warm.
Oh yeah, yeah. They've tried to make it very comfortable for those jobs. So
yeah. For you guys specifically, maybe like, how does Ellingson kind of approach, you know, trying to find and attract, you know, top talent?
You know, I think several things. You know, we want to, you know, focus on being that employer choice, as I said, that academy company that we can provide opportunity and internal training for people to advance. Competitive wages is something we always strive for, you know, making sure we're, you know, at the top of the pay scale in this industry or in the area. But also, I think it's about some of the training stuff we talked about, you know, the servant leadership, the values, you know, a stable place to work. We've been in business for 53 years. You know, a good family values, you know, that we participate in, but also diversification. You know, we've got different business units within Ellingson, you know, that are all very successful. And if you want to be in the water management business, focusing on helping growers increase yield, you can do that. If you want to, you know, work on infrastructure management and helping facilities improve their piping, we have that solution. you know, and so on and so forth. But I think at the end of the day, we really try and, you know, attract really good people that meet our core values. And we do a lot of trainings, a lot of events with high schools,
okay,
you know, some trade schools, things like that, trying to get kids in young to educate them, you know, get them exposed to what a day in the life of a construction worker is and things like that. So lots of different things we're trying. I'm not saying any one of them works better than the other.
Yeah.
But I think you got to get creative, you know, and really try to attract those people.
And I know it kind of goes hand in hand, but, you know, we talk about kind of attracting and bringing in the right people. But on the same side, we have to focus on retention, you know, and taking care of those that are already here and making sure, you know, that they're good. And, you know, we've heard the stories time and time again of the grass always being greener on the other side. You know, maybe someone leaves and it's like, maybe it was for a little pay bump or something like that. But realizing that companies don't all operate the same and going, actually, I made a little bit less here, but my life was way better, you know, or the people were better, whatever it is. So for you guys, you know, what are some of those things, you know, and I know you kind of covered them, but maybe that helped the retention specifically even, you know?
Yeah, I think visibility into growth and where the organization is going is something that's super important for retention.
Yep.
You know, if people can see that there's opportunity for them to grow and opportunity for them to move up, I think it helps with retention.
Yeah.
You know, at our organization, we have an annual holiday party. We recognize all the employees, you know. That's fun to get the whole group together, and it's something that I don't think all companies do, but it's something that I think, you know, builds relationships from the ownership down with a lot of our employees, and I think it helps with retention. But just, you know, I think really at the end of the day, treating people fair, listening to them, you know, having an annual performance review process where they can be heard on how they want to excel and move forward and continue to show them that there's opportunity there, I think are a lot of the keys to retaining people.
I think part of it too is, you know, I mean, a lot of those things too are around that culture piece and that camaraderie. I mean, it seems like the word culture has been coming up more and more, you know, throughout the years of this needs to be a focus. You know, it's like we can't just have, you know, people do their thing and you know, go home and, you know, because if we're offering the same thing as somebody else, we're not doing it any differently. You know, why would they necessarily stay? So it's like people are really pouring into that culture and, you know, the who you are as an organization.
Yeah, culture is very, very important. And I think, you know, having systems to reward employees, you know, retention bonuses, annual profit sharing are all things we at Ellingson do that I think excites people to feel part of that team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, safety is a big thing in construction.
Yeah.
You know, we do some safety awards annually. So, I mean, I think a lot of them little things you can do, you know, and I think just saying thank you. I mean, we appreciate every employee we have at Ellingson and they're all great and we want to see them stay for the long run. And it's just those little things, I think, sometimes that make the bigger difference to keep people.
Yeah. I think, too, one of the things I wanted to, you know, ask briefly, because I know you guys redid, you know, the core values and didn't necessarily change them, but kind of, you know, re-looked at them and maybe redefined and how we're going to use these in a practical way. But that from culture to new processes, you know, if it's just leadership that's getting excited about this, you know, it doesn't do much. So how do you kind of get people's, you know, almost buy in per se that they can adopt that same, you know, excited, you know, you guys are excited about it. How can they adopt that same, man, this is sweet. You know, this is really going to help us.
You know, I think one thing we did is after we kind of did our values relaunch, our HR team trained, I think, almost everyone in the organization at one point or another over the last year on explaining the core values, the servant leadership mindset, why that's so important, why the company feels it's important. And I think that's really helped.
Yeah.
spread that message, as you said, to get more people excited about it.
Yep.
I think the social media stuff, sharing success stories of employees or project stories, continues to get people excited about it.
Yep.
You know, so different ways to try and just keep that communication open so people can understand and see and connect why that is important.
Yeah.
Why values are so important.
What are some of the things that, you personally, you know, get motivated by? You know, it's, I'm sure it's even changed over the years, because even my personally might have changed. You know, when I was just starting, you know, motivations were a certain thing, and now, you know, your company changes and it looks different and evolves. But what are those things that kind of, you know, motivate you, get you out of the bed, get you excited to just keep pushing?
You know, I think the opportunities that are out there. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, there's a lot of opportunities in construction for people. You know, it's not something that a lot of people are just getting out of bed in the morning and saying, I want to go be a contractor.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of contractors, but I think there's a lot of other businesses that there are people that wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to be a computer programmer, I'm going to get into tech because that's what's going on in the world. And, mm-hmm. and so I think our trades are really something that, you know, people need. And I think it's something that's a little bit recession proof. It's hard to replace with technology. Technology definitely helps it, but everybody needs water, electricity, you know, things like that, where, you know, there's a lot of businesses that come and go because technology changes that. And I think construction is one that's always going to be there. Mm-hmm. So I think that gets me excited. You know, helping people grow, you know, watching people succeed within our organization is fun. I think it's rewarding. You know, it's rewarding for me. Mm. Hopefully it's rewarding for the people, you know, but I think it's a really fun deal, and just to see, you know, where the next step is, you know. Yeah. AI technology. I mean, there's just so many things changing so fast out there in the world, and the way things are done with the equipment. I mean, we're talking about autonomous farming equipment now. You know, we're involved in a project in Fargo called the Grand Farm, which, you know, is all about autonomous farming, and, you know, and how can we do that, right? And it's just interesting, you know, to me to see where things will go and how we can continue to make them better. You know, our agricultural group is really about managing water, but at the end of the day, it's, you know, how do we feed all the people in the world, right? Mm-hmm. They talk about a food shortage and 2050 or 2060 coming down the road, and how can we help solve that problem and produce more? Mm-hmm. You know, so just lots of things like that get me excited. I think you know, anytime you can be an entrepreneur and a business owner, you know, it's fun.
Mm-hmm. I think, I mean, one thing that even stuck out from just talking with you before was that element of, you know, how we're impacting the world. You know, it's like what we're doing in different ways. Maybe it's seen, maybe it's unseen, but it directly affects, you know, so many different things. And it's like, you can take pride in that. Your team can take pride in that. I mean, so it's the work being done. I mean, I think there's a lot of pride in it, you know, and a lot of guys have that. Sure, it's hard work. Sure, it's dirty sometimes, yeah. But also a lot of other things, right, that you can do that aren't necessarily, yeah, dirty, but there's a ton of pride, I think.
Yeah, it's amazing to me. You ride around with a coworker, an employee, and, you know, especially ones that have been around for a long time, and you'll be driving down a gravel road and it's like, hey, we tiled that farm 30 years ago. You know, look at that crop, look at that corn, look, mm-hmm, how much taller it is than the one next to it. Or, you know, hey, we put the water main under that river over there and connected A to B. And, you know, so I think, you know, construction is something people can feel proud about, mm-hmm, right? You built it. You know, it's helping someone. It's a tangible item. You can drive by years later. You can see it. You know, a lot of our stuff is underground. It's a little tougher to see.
Yeah, true, yeah.
But, you know, most of us remember, you know, that project or, mm-hmm, the difficulty on that project or why that project was so unique. And you don't remember them all, but the ones that were tough, you do, mm-hmm, especially if you solve the problems.
So, yeah.
You know, I think those are great, great things.
I think some of those projects, you know, you guys thrive in too, is the hard ones that you got to figure out, you know, that maybe people didn't know. Maybe there hasn't been a way that this has been, you know, done before, but not afraid to kind of jump in, take it on head first, and hey, we're going to figure this out. I've seen that too, you know.
Yeah, you know, we get, like I said before, we get involved in a lot of specialty projects, and like I said, I think one of the strengths at Ellingson is just figuring out them tough projects and solutions for our clients, mm-hmm. Whether it be a, you know, an agricultural client, a municipal client, you know, a manufacturing facility, food processing, you know, I think it's, I think there's a lot of opportunity. And as I said before, you know, it's constantly changing. So
as we kind of, you know, get, you know, things wrapped up too, like I always want to dive into like, what is the future, you know, of Ellingson look like? Where are you guys going? What's that look like in your mind?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. You know, we talk about that internally a lot. And, you know, I think we continue to, you know, want to help, you know, any way we can, you know, manage a lot of the world's most precious resources, right? You know, we work in oil and gas. We work in water. We work in agriculture. You know, a lot of the things that we help improve are connecting people to resources, to utilities, right? Or managing them resources. And I think that's really what our company is about, and continuing to come up with innovative solutions that make that more efficient and better and cost effective for our clients. You know, I also think that the opportunities that will continue to evolve due to technology are things that we're excited about, and how can we make them faster, better, yep, quicker as an organization.
Do you think that the company will grow, you know, geographically, or maybe with more business units, or do you think that you'll grow with inside of those business units and just, you know, keep getting better at those?
You know, as an organization, we've adopted a strategic planning process as a company called Traction. You maybe heard of it.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you run anything in the U.S.
And we're just, you know, in infinite stages of that. And I think it's really helping us hone that message and vision in of where we want to go. I think all of them things are possibilities.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the economy, you know, what happens in the market, where the opportunities are, what happens, you know, governmentally. I mean, there's a lot of things that impact construction and what we do. And I think we're always going to have to be moving a little bit, right? But I think growing our core businesses and staying focused on, you know, the agricultural business and, you know, our specialty trenchless business is really, you know, where I see us in the future, continuing to provide, you know, resources in that underground utility, underground construction space.
There's a lot down there people don't know about.
There is. They'd be amazed if they went out to their boulevard and started digging around in the first 10 feet, what they would find. So, but really at the end of the day, it's about helping our customers, you know, how can we provide them solutions in the underground industry that you know, maybe somebody else can't, or is less invasive, or you know, how can we help a farmer grow more crop on his field and continue to improve his land and manage his water.
I think just like, you know, family and leaders before you, I mean, you're gonna, as you grow, you're gonna continue to just, you know, adapt and figure out what's best and where to move. And you know, you don't always know what the future looked like. You know, you can plan for it and prepare for it, but you know, it's never guaranteed. Never, you don't know. But
right,
yeah, I'm sure it'll be something like that. Where you have the leadership team, you have the core, you know, that lets you build upon. So
yep,
probably in a great spot. Yeah, to just
fit. Yeah, I think just staying true to your core strengths is what's important. You know, do what you're good at and be really, really good at it. So
just lastly, you know, we have a decent amount of, I would say, you know, business owners, entrepreneurs, you know, aspiring, you know, business people, you know, and just even those in organizations that are trying to continue to grow personally and professionally. What have been key things for you that you've maybe learned that have helped you progress, you know, over the years that maybe you could pass advice just on?
You know, I think making sure that you have a balanced understanding of everything it takes to run a business. You know, I think every business has a human resource piece, a financial piece, a sales piece, a marketing piece, so on and so forth. And I think making sure you have a process in place that allows you to continue to grow and work on each one of them, and not get so focused in one area that you forget about another one, I think is important. There's definitely been times in my career where that's happened. You know, you put something to the shelf that maybe wasn't important because of a big project or a big job. Really making sure that you manage your risk, cash flow's important, right? Kills a lot of businesses. I heard a statistic the other day that only 0.0013 businesses ever make it to 100 years.
Really?
And I had a consultant I was working with that told me that, and it was really interesting to, I mean, it puts things into perspective, right? We've only been in business 53 years, but, you know, it's really interesting to hear how tough it is for businesses to, you know, take that leap, you know, from year to year to year to year. And right. I think the second piece is just understanding that what your own strengths are as a business owner and making sure you're filling in around your team with the ones that maybe aren't your strengths. You know, a lot of businesses talk about having innovators and integrators, right? And it takes all pieces to make a good organization run. And if you don't have them right pieces, that can stagnate your business. If you're more process project focused, you can only do as much as you can handle. And if you're an innovator and you've got 20 new ideas a week and you can only implement two, if you don't have someone that can really help you manage and run the business day to day, you can't grow either. So, you know, really, really focusing on the overall, you know, leadership pie chart, I call it. You know, how are you making sure that each piece of that pie chart is being addressed, and the ones that you're struggling to address, put good people around you that can help you make more, help you be more successful.
I mean, that's the whole, too, the delegate and elevate. You know, it's like you got to be surrounded with people that are going to help you grow. But I think that stat's really interesting because, I mean, it goes back to just the fact that you never, you know, figure everything out, you know, and you're just, you know, I mean, you can stop growing, but you're just going to slowly die, you know. So it's like this continual growth aspect, but how can you do that controlled? Because every next level you get to, it's new problems.
It is. Yep.
It's new things that you've never faced before as an organization. You know, there's things that you've learned, obviously, along the way that are going to help with that. But, I mean, on a small scale, we've seen that. You know, we've gone from me to 3 to 5, you know, and we're going to probably have, you know, 9 or 10 by the end of the year. And the growth is exciting, but there's stuff that we haven't even seen coming that we're like, what the heck? How are we supposed to do this now?
And
it's just like, so it is fun to grow, but I think the more that we're learning, too, is we have to do this smart. We have to be controlled. And I think some of those, ooh, that sucked. You know, those are the things that you just continue to learn over the years. But I mean,
yeah. And if you grow, you grow too fast, you definitely take the risk of, you know, poor workmanship, you know, unhappy customers, which then can have a negative effect on you also. So balancing that is also very important to make sure, that you've got, you know, the controls in place, or, you know, the right people in the right spot. You know, making sure everybody's playing the right instrument in the band is, you know, a communication thing that I've heard for 30 years, you know, and it's, there's something to it. It's important. If people are, you know, in a spot where they're not working to their strengths, they're unhappy and can cause issues. And as you grow an organization, you know, sometimes you got to make tough decisions too. There's people that maybe can't grow with you, right? Or don't want to grow with you. And them are some really hard decisions as a business owner to make as you grow a company.
I think too, when you look at growth, it's like the things that got us here might not be the same things that get us to here. And some of those are people, you know, it's like, and that is the hard thing is like, can we develop, you know, can we get to this level or, you know, are you not maybe going to be able to help, you know, be at this next level that, again, to face those new challenges and different things that are going to happen operationally.
That's where the, you know, the succession planning and the training comes in to be so important, right? It's something we've started in our organization recently, and it's a big eye opener, you know? And when you get to a certain size, your growth has to come from the people within is the best. You can hire outside people, but it seems to me, from what I found, people that know your system, your values, your process are way better for the next opportunity than maybe, you know, somebody from the outside, and making sure they're ready for that, right? And managing that with the growth is, is a constant challenge and something we talk about all the time.
You can't always just, you know, hire the experience. You need to develop it, you know.
It's just,
I can't just bring somebody in that, you know, is an expert at this. You know, maybe you can for certain things, but
yeah, certain things for that, sure.
Yeah, it's,
but when you're in as many specialty businesses as Ellingson is, it's you know, there's a lot of industry secrets and things that you need the right people, you know. And I guess that's what I would leave it with is, is make sure you got the right people on your team, you know, and have a good core value structure, and I think again that leadership pie chart, making sure you're spending time in each area of the business as a business owner, or have people around you that are taking care of that for you, and I think you'll be successful.
Well, Jeremy, I really appreciate you being on here, and I'm excited to. To continue watching, you know, Ellingson grow and what you guys are doing, and you know, possibly be a part of it down the line. But you know, we've enjoyed working with you, and it's fun to see. And just thanks for coming on today.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys having me out, and hopefully I was a little help to somebody.
Oh, yeah.
And, but it was a lot of fun, and you know, I wish you guys the best luck in the future too.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
And as always, guys, thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I have. Again, if you learned something, continue to share it out. Also, if there's topics or industries that you want to learn more on, please reach out. We're going to try to continue bringing on more experts. We'll see you on the next one.